Turning to Numbers chapter 14 for the second part of this message that we began last week. Numbers chapter 14, and if you will notice one verse in verse 24, Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Shall we pray together? Father, we praise you and thank you this morning for the testimonies of so many in the Scripture. We know, Lord, that the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. We know that the Lord has given us both negative examples and positive examples. Lord, I pray this morning that you would help us to follow Caleb as he followed the Lord Christ. Father, I ask this morning that you would help us to be a people who would be courageous in these days, not living according to their fears and their frustrations, as we looked at in last Sunday's message, but people who courageously confront the times, the day, the age, the people, confront in courage all those things that are before us. Lord, give us another spirit, we pray. And Lord, would you fill me with your spirit as I preach this message this morning. Help us to hear the very words of the Lord. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can see there in the outline in your worship guide what we talked about a little bit last Sunday as we talked about this matter of fears and frustrations. We learned that a fear is an unpleasant or negative emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous or likely to cause pain or at least a threat in some way. And we learned that frustrations come from the feeling of being upset or annoyed, especially because of inability to change or achieve something. And when last we saw the children of Israel, the 10 spies had succeeded in stirring up the fears and the frustrations. They had done so in an exaggerated manner, as we learned last Sunday, even when they were resisted, saying, no, the land, the promised land, the land eats people up. Rather than being the promised land of God, no, now it's this poisonous land of grief that actually eats people up. And we talked about last time how that if you live according to your fears, and you live according to your frustrations, that is, only thinking that you have human ability rather than the power of the Lord who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. If you just try to take on life in your own strength, you will be filled with all kind of fears and all kind of frustrations. And in order to get your way, you will often exaggerate those fears so that other people also will be stirred up by your fears. And as you read last week and as we talked about last week, those fears of those 10 spies actually stirred up the people so much that they rebelled against the Lord. Millions, that's not an overstatement in this case, millions of people died because of the lack of faith, because of the exaggerated fears of these people. So instead of acting in trust to the Lord, they were acting in terror. They were almost terrorist in a sense. And certainly, as we learned there in Numbers 13, Numbers 14, Joshua and Caleb called it when they said, don't rebel against the Lord. And that's what they were doing. They would say, well, we're just afraid. Is that rebellion? In this case, that's exactly what it was. It was rebellion because it was a failure to trust in the Lord. You'll notice there in your outline, as we talked about last week, about the great potential in chapter 13 and verse 27, all the people saw it, all the people recognized. They saw the fruit of the land and they saw the great potential. And that was true both for the 10 spies and the 2 spies. They all saw the potential. But the way they saw the potential, the filter through which they saw the potential? Was it a filter of fear and frustration, or a filter of faith? And that brought us to the place where we had to say, how do we look at life? Do we look at life through the filter of our fears and frustrations, or do we look at it through faith? So we learned last week, when you remember that the Lord is with you, your faith will give you the victory over your fears and frustrations. Remember, your fears and frustrations could lead you to forget the Lord and rebel against Him and lead others to do the same. And they were doing so by focusing on these gigantic problems and their own inability, by exaggerating their fears, filling the hearts of other people with grief and griping, disguising the real problem, which was rebellion, with forcefulness, and guiding others into despair and destruction. The Holy Spirit has given us this morning one shining example and chosen to comment on that one shining example that we have here in Caleb, one of the two spies, Joshua being the other. Caleb, we learn here in verse 24, was a man who understood and saw something. Look at it again, if you will, in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and it followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, in order to understand that comment and its context this morning, that explanation about Caleb, let's go back just a couple of verses and think about what the Lord said in verse 21. The Lord said, as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. All of the earth, the entire world shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. And then he proceeded to give not only a negative example, but a positive example. Now, before we go farther in the message this morning, you and I ought to stop to think about that. Friends, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. That's going to happen. To the Lord's great glory, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. And you have a choice this morning. The choice is, do you intend to be a negative example like those 10 men who lived for their fears and frustrations and continually proclaimed their inability? Or are you going to be like Caleb, whom the Lord presents to us here as a positive example? And I hope to demonstrate to you this morning that Caleb is very much like our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we preach and who we proclaim. So this morning, let's think about what this means. Let's understand our fears and our frustrations. Let's understand the glory of the Lord. Let's understand that when the Lord is with us, our faith will give us victory over our fears and frustrations. If you're saying this morning, well, if I could just somehow or other figure out how to be stronger than my fear, I could win the victory. No, you couldn't. Because your fears will always be stronger than your limited human abilities. Well, if I could just get past my frustrations, you won't. And as long as you think of conquering your fears and your frustrations in your own strength, it's just going to be an unending battle. But what if we were to change our minds this morning, and instead of looking at our fears and being frustrated with our frustrations, what if we look to the Lord? What if we looked in a very different place? What if we recognized that the Lord is with us and He could change all of us? How so? How could that happen this morning? I would like to preach to you today on this positive example of Caleb as he followed Christ. And I would point out in this message that if you follow Caleb, who followed the Lord Jesus Christ, you could be like Jesus. It means nothing for you and me to stand up and proclaim something about a mere human being. If I said to you this morning, you ought to be like Caleb, and come on, let's be like Caleb, the problem would be that the message would be kind of full of moralisms. It would all be about, you know, come on, be a positive example, you know, be like Caleb, everything work out okay. Well, there is nothing about Caleb that is transforming. There is nothing about him that in and of himself ministers grace. But if we preach the Lord Christ, If we preach the Lord Jesus Christ, the God who transformed Caleb, using Caleb's life as a window through which we could look to the Lord, that really helps us. That helps us in the following way. You may have said to yourself, well, I can't be like Jesus. Come on, man. I can't be like Jesus. Jesus was sinless. Come on. He didn't have any sin. And I'm loaded down with sin. All right? If you can't be like Jesus Christ, could you be just like Caleb? Could you be a depraved man saved by the grace of God whose life is transformed? And how did that happen? Well, look there, if you will, in your notes about Caleb on the other side of the outline there. And let's look at what it says about Caleb. Look at verse 24 again of Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. But, note the contrast. All the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. And then he gives those negative examples. Look at them in verse 22. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt in the wilderness have tempted me now these 10 times, have not hearkened, have not listened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But, now where do you want to be? Do you want to be with those 10 men, or do you want to be on Caleb's side this morning? I appeal to you. Be like Caleb. All the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. There will be negative examples and positive examples. Don't be like the negative examples. Take the grace of God, which is available to us this morning in this message, and be like Caleb. But, you find in verse 24, be a contrasting person. Paddle upstream in a downstream world. Go against the flow, not with the flow. But notice how he's described here. My servant Caleb. Ah, there it is. Caleb is the servant of the Lord. You must ask the question this morning, who are you serving? Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't be the servant of sin, we are appealed to in Romans chapter 6. Be a servant of the Lord. God referred to Caleb as his servant. In Israel, slavery was not so obnoxious and so irksome as we often think about slavery today. In the United States, you've heard of the kind of slavery that's even going on now in many countries and even in secret places here in the U.S. Oftentimes, it's very, very terrible. But in Israel, it was not so irksome because it was a slavery that was according to law. Go back and read in Exodus and Leviticus about how a servant, how a slave was to be treated and when he was supposed to be released. And so what happened in Israel was slavery was not so irksome since this status involved rights and often positions of trust. You asked the question this morning, well, if we are going to talk about Caleb being a servant, what does that really say about Jesus Christ? Question, was Jesus Christ a servant? Hold your place there and go with me back over to those servant songs. We looked at them just a few months ago. In Isaiah chapter 50, let's go over to Isaiah chapter 50 just for a moment. Now, you know this about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know from Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. That's our Lord Jesus Christ, who took upon himself the form of a servant. Look at how the service of the servant, Jesus Christ, was proclaimed, in fact, prophesied all the way back in Isaiah 50. Look at verse 4 of Isaiah 50. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Stop the reading just for a moment and ask yourself this question. Hey, did Joshua and Caleb know how to speak to people who were weary with the fears and frustrations of a whole bunch of other people? They surely did. I would point out to you that those 10 spies took the older generation into the wilderness to die. It was Joshua and Caleb who took the younger generation into the promised land. Which one do you want to be? Do you want to be like Joshua and Caleb who take the younger generation into the promised land? Or you want to be like one of those old, wizened, dried up 10 spies who, by the way, were probably young men, but they were old and dark and wrinkled in their hearts. And they led the older generation into destruction. Is your tongue the tongue of one that helps those who are weary? Do you know, according to verse 4, how to speak a word in season to him that is weary? How does that happen? Look at the end of verse 4 there in Isaiah 50. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. How do you treat your morning devotions? How do you treat your God nighttime? How do you treat the Word of God early in those morning hours when the Lord is taking the opportunity to speak to you? Are you listening? Verse 5, the Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Question, is that the way Joshua and Caleb were? They sure were. They didn't turn back before their fears and frustrations. The Lord had opened their ears. They didn't turn away back. And the reason that there was the grace for Joshua and Caleb to be as they were was the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, even back in Genesis 3 and verse 15, the Lord prophesied that the Lord Jesus Christ would come. There's a reason today that you and I were not immediately cast into hell when we were born. It is the common grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is the saving grace that Joshua and Caleb had embraced, and it had transformed them. And now they were following in the footsteps of the servant Jesus Christ. Look, if you will, at verse 6. How do we know this is Jesus Christ? I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. You see? It's a prophecy. It's a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. I say to you today, as you go back over to Numbers chapter 14, I say to you, there it is. There's the spirit of Caleb. And you and I have to ask ourselves, do we have that kind of spirit? Do we have that approach to life? Are we servants of the Lord, just as Caleb was a servant of the Lord and Jesus was a servant of the Lord? You're looking at verse 24. Look at it again. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. But my servant, Caleb. Caleb's an interesting name. They have traced through the etymology of it. It does seem to have something to say about a bark or an attack. It has something to do with even a dog's warning, a bark that is to come to alert everybody who's around him. My servant Caleb, now watch what it says, because he had another spirit. Because he has this other spirit. Question today, do you have the spirit of the age, the spirit of this world, or do you have a different spirit? That spirit is demonstrated back in Numbers chapter 13. Look at verse 30, if you will, of Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. Caleb stilled the people. This was when everybody was in an uproar and everybody is upset and they're mad and they're furious and they want to go back to Egypt, and they are just, I mean, it is just, one professor of mine called it hysterics in the barracks. I mean, it's just really a terrible time. Numbers 13, verse 30, it says, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, don't miss what he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Was Caleb saying that he was some sort of a super dude? Was he some sort of a superman that he was able to overcome when nobody else could? Of course not. You see, what Caleb is doing here is He's trusting in a strength, a power that is beyond himself. You and I know about it. Ephesians chapter 6. Be strong. Help me here. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You see, that's what he was doing. And so if you think that you're going to confront your fears and frustrations just by making them just go away, it's not going to happen, folks. What you have to do is you have to have another spirit. Now, where do you get this other spirit? Would you turn with me briefly over to Galatians chapter 3 just for a moment? And while you're turning, may I remind you of a verse you know very well. In fact, those of you who know this verse this morning, quote it with me. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Can you see how Joshua and Caleb understood, here's the way you put away that spirit of fear. It is by power. God is able. He is able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by him. God is able. Abraham believed what he has promised, he is able to perform. That's what you're drawing on. You're drawing on that fact that God is able, and that is the fact of your faith. That is the fact that you cling to. God is able. But the question is, how does that happen? You're looking at Galatians chapter 3. Notice what Paul says here in verses 1 and 2, Galatians chapter 3. He says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Whoa, that's pretty strong language. He's saying, who's cast a spell on you? You're acting so foolishly. Who is it that cast a spell on you? You've been bewitched. And what was the problem? That you should not obey the truth. Obey the truth? What truth were they not obeying? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Friends, it was the truth of the gospel. That's what they were beginning to set aside. It was the truth of Jesus Christ evidently set forth before them, crucified among them. Now watch what he says in verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Hey, how did the Holy Spirit of God come to dwell inside you? Have you heard the gospel? Have you really heard it? I know that you may have heard the story many times. I calculate, and I really mean this, I think I heard the gospel more than 1,000 times before I ever heard it. Have you really considered Jesus Christ evidently set before you, the crucified Son of God evidently set before you, and heard by the hearing of faith in such a way that the Holy Spirit of God came to dwell inside you? And you now know that you are different. You have another spirit. You have another spirit because of that life-transforming Spirit of God that came to dwell in you at salvation. As you go back over to Numbers chapter 14, would you remember with me who the father of modern missions is? His name, William Carey. William Carey became a cobbler, shoemaker, at age 14. And while he was a cobbler, he taught himself the Greek language. He is considered the father of modern missions because on May 30th, 1792, he preached a message from Isaiah 54, verses 2 through 3. And here's what he said. He said, if you will attempt great things for God, you can expect great things from God. Now, I want to challenge you this morning. Would you attempt great things for God? Our Philippine team went out last summer. Our seven members on our team last year, they were able to give the gospel to more than 12,000 people last summer. Do you get it? If you attempt great things for God, you can expect great things from God. That's why Caleb was saying, we are well able to overcome it, because he had another spirit. He had the Spirit of the living God within him. William Carey was one of the founders of the Baptist Missionary Society as a missionary in Serampore, India. He translated the Bible into Bengali, Sanskrit, and several other languages and dialects. Why? He had another spirit. Would you pray, even during the message this morning, would you pray for our Peru team on the field, that they would be filled with the Spirit of God, that even in their tiredness, they would be filled with the Spirit of God and do exploits for the Lord as they are attempting a great thing for God, that they would expect great things from God. You see, when you remember that the Lord is with you, your faith will give you the victory over your fears and frustrations. That's what you're seeing here. The Spirit helps us to take on new challenges for His glory and go higher and higher. That's what the Spirit of God does for us. I was reading and thinking this week about a very famous conversation that took place between a bishop, and I believe it was right here in Ohio, a bishop of a church who was discussing philosophy with a college professor. And the bishop's opinion was this, and by the way, I have another place where he later recorded this in a message. The bishop's opinion was that the millennium was at hand. The 1800s were getting ready to pass, and 1900 was coming. The bishop's opinion was the millennium was at hand. As evidence, he cited the fact that everything about nature had already been discovered. Imagine that. Everything about nature has already been discovered, he said, and that all the useful inventions had already been made. This was 1899. All the useful inventions have already been made. The professor politely said to the bishop that he was mistaken. He said, "Why, in a few years, we will be able to fly through the air." And the bishop said, "What a nonsensical idea. Flight," he assured the professor, "is reserved for the birds and the angels." The bishop's last name was Wright, father of Orville and Wilbur Wright. And later on, when Orville took Bishop Wright up on his one and only airplane ride, Bishop Wright screamed over and over again to Orville, "Higher, go higher, go higher." Now see, you really have a basic question this morning. Which one are you going to be like? The one who says, no, it can't be done. That's ridiculous. He even told that professor, he said, "Look, the heavens are reserved for the angels and for the birds. You can't fly, and his own sons are working on the invention." Orville and Wilbur, by the way, got really frustrated with trying to explain to everybody how flight works. And even to this day, there are those of you in this room who could explain it far better than I could. But my father was an aviation mechanic, and I think I knew this principle by the time I was 4 or 5 years old. It's called Bernoulli's principle. The way that a wing is shaped, whether it's higher curve up on top and kind of flat on the bottom, as a fluid, in this case air, runs across the top of that wing, it actually creates a vacuum and creates lift. Well, everybody wanted to know from Orville and Wilbur and said, "How does it work? How does it work?" And so they were trying to do what I did just now. They were trying to explain, "Well, Bernoulli, is this Italian? I mean, what's all this all about?" Orville and Wilbur finally got to the place. They were weary of explaining the principles of their biplane's performance to the inquisitive. And so the Wright brothers said simply, "The airplane stays up because it doesn't have time to fall. The airplane stays up because it doesn't have time to fall." You know what I thought of when I read that quote? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why was it that the Wright airplane worked? Why could the wing keep going through the air, the power of the propeller biting into the air, pulling it forward, creating its own vacuum, and pushing that plane forward as that vacuum lifted the wings? What they were saying there was, the airplane stays up because it doesn't have time to fall. I ask you today, do you have another spirit? Are you like Caleb, the servant of God, who has another spirit? You're walking in the Spirit, and you don't have time to fall because you are so intent on serving the Lord. Look there, if you get will, again at Numbers chapter 14. Notice what else the Lord said about this example of Caleb. And has followed me fully. You see what he's saying there about Caleb in verse 24? But my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit with him and has followed me fully. Oh, you know where this is going. Are you obeying God? When the Lord speaks to you about things, are you obeying him? Your faith can lead you to remember the Lord and rely upon him and lead others to do the very same thing. And that's really where this is all going. It's all about leading that new generation, that younger generation. And he did so by demonstrating timely obedience. Remember back in Numbers 13:30, we read it a few moments ago. He said, let us go up at once. In other words, let's just follow the Lord. Why? We are well able to do it. Let's not sit around, strategize, and kind of lay out a blueprint and say, well, you know, I've got this guy, and he's pretty good at lifting weights, and this guy's pretty good at chucking a spear. No. He's saying, if the Lord commanded it, it can be done. Why? God is able. Let's just do what the Lord shows us to do. And so he's demonstrating a very timely obedience there. So I ask you today, what is the Lord showing you? What is it that the Lord is dealing with you about? How is it that you could serve the Lord with gladness and not with grief if you would simply do what the Lord is showing you to do? Would you just take a moment in this message to say yes to the Lord? Lord, that thing that you have been talking to me about, Lord, that thing you've been stirring my spirit about, would you just say yes to the Lord and go up at once to possess it? Be a doer of the word and not merely a hearer who is deceiving himself. Notice what else he said, though. He said about Caleb, not only by doing the will of God, not only by being a servant of God and doing the will of God and having a very different spirit, he says something else here that I think we have to pay really close attention to, because if you didn't look at this really closely, you would get very, very frustrated. You and I have to be servants of the Lord, be a servant of the Lord, be filled with the Spirit of God, be doing the will of God. Watch what he says next. He says, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went. Wow. Look at here. Wow. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went. And does your Bible say, and Caleb went marching right on in? Is that what your Bible says? No, it doesn't say that. Now, question, did the Lord bring Caleb in? Oh, yes, he did. In fact, at the end of the message, we'll see this in just a moment. He did bring him in. How much later was that? It was at least 4 decades. And by most reckoning, 45 years later. And so I ask you this question this morning. Would you be like Caleb and be patient with the timing of God? Would you be patient with the timing of God by acting in humble dependence on the Lord and remembering his strong hand of protection? In the case of Moses and Joshua and Caleb, they were praying. That is, they were speaking to the Lord for the people and speaking to the people for the Lord. And patiently waiting on the Lord in order to enjoy this glorious victory. Notice what it says about him. And his seed shall possess it. And his seed shall possess it. Would you be patient with the timing of God? Would you be doing the will of God? Would you be full of the Spirit of God? Would you be a servant of God? If so, you can lead others to do the very same thing that you are doing. You can be like him. And there you really see it when it says, and his seed shall possess it. See, it's really about the next generation. That's a large part of what we're talking about. He says, and his seed shall possess it. So ask yourself the question this morning, whether it be your children, your grandchildren, whether it be the neighbor children around you, whether it be someone from the next generation that you are burdened about, it's your example, folks. See, what this does is, it really puts the magnifying glass on our daily fears and frustrations. You may say to yourself, I get so frustrated. Okay, would you ask yourself the question, am I being like a Caleb whose seed will be blessed after him because of my example? When you think about your fears, Think about the future and your future, your children, your grandchildren, others around you. And ask yourself, am I going to pave the way for them to enter into victory? Be leading others into the blessings of God. You can bless the coming generation. Turn over, if you will, to Joshua. Let's see how this all winds up here in Joshua. Joshua, we're turning to Joshua 14 this morning. You remember that Joseph was this way from the recent series on Joseph? Do you remember that Joseph said to his brothers and to the children who were after him twice there in Genesis chapter 50, God will surely visit you. God will surely visit you. You and I have that confidence today. We know the Lord's coming back. God will surely visit you. And he said, and when you do, I want to give you a really practical exercise. This isn't just God will surely visit you in some sort of, you know, spiritual, you know, some sort of a theoretical, you know, way out there where God will surely visit. He said, no, God's going to visit you. And when he visits you, would you please take my bones out of this land and take them back over to the land of Israel? That's how practical it was. Look at Joshua chapter 14, and let's talk about what Paul Harvey might have called the rest of the story. Joshua chapter 14, look at verse 7. This is Caleb speaking. He said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again that as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Stop and look this way just for a moment. Does your attitude make people's heart melt? The griping, the fear, the frustration, does it make people's heart melt and ultimately rebel against the Lord? Notice he says here in verse 8, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Anybody want to tell me how old that is? 85. He's 85. I won't ask for a show of hands this morning. 85 years old. He's 85. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in that day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go in and to come out and to go in to come in. And now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day of the Anakims that were there, and the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Everybody else was terrified. Everybody else talking about the giants. Everybody else was talking about the walled fortresses can't be done. What's Caleb's attitude? Give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. I'll show them what the Lord is able to do. We'll go up in the strength of the Lord. And all those rotten, stinking rumors from the past, all those fearful, frustrated, you give me that mountain. When you remember that the Lord is with you, your faith will give you victory over your fears and frustrations. I was either 16 years of age or I was 18 years of age. Don't remember which one. I do remember exactly where I was. I was at the Wiles, and I was on the uphill side of the Fourth Falls hike. Now, some of our teenagers just down at the Fourth Falls, they know when you're going down to the Fourth Falls at the Wiles, that you travel down there a relatively easy way. That's probably a little overstatement, but relatively, especially since most of the way it's level or going down, it's relatively easy. But then they bring you back by a very different way. And at least in a couple of those places, you have to use ropes to kind of guide your way up. And so it can really be very exhausting. I would remind you of the altitude, probably 2,000, 2,400 feet, something like that. The air is a little bit thinner. And so here we were, young men who were running track and in all kinds of activities. We were strong, and boy, we were just working our way along. And the fact is, we were huffing and puffing, going like this. And I first thought, is that somebody singing? You know, who has time to sing, you know, when you're going, who has time to sing? And I realized that's not a young voice I'm hearing. And as it came into my hearing, here was a man that I estimate between 70 and 80 years of age. He was behind us, and he was moving fast toward us. And I remember we thought, that old guy's not going to pass me, man. I'm going to go hard. And we were... That guy walked right past us. Don't know his name to this day. That man climbed right past us teenagers. And the whole time, guess what he was singing? I want that mountain. I want that mountain. Where the grapes of Eskel grow. Where the milk and honey flows. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. That mountain that the Lord has promised me. Now, you have a choice to make today. The whole earth is going to be filled with the glory of the Lord. You're going to be a negative example. You're going to be a positive example. Be like Caleb, who was like Christ. Make the choice this morning to commit your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we bow our heads together? Time to make a choice. Choice you have to make this morning. Friend, the whole earth's going to be full with the glory of the Lord. The Lord's will be done. Will it be done at your expense? Or will it be done in a way that demonstrates God's excellence through your life? Perhaps I'm talking to somebody this morning who doesn't have another spirit. You've never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never really listened as He has been evidently set forth. And you have not received another spirit. Dear friend, why not today? Why not ask the Lord, Lord, open my ears. Help me to understand why this is so important, Lord. Open my ears. Lord, give me another spirit. And He will. And He will. Perhaps today as a Christian, you're sitting here and you say, I just haven't been acting very courageously. I've been a victim of my fears and frustrations. Well, friend, why not today adopt the approach of Caleb, who was like Christ, and with Christ's help, say with the Apostle Paul, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And steamroll those fears and frustrations. Perhaps you'd say today, Pastor, I know what I need to do. I just need the courage to do it. With every head bowed, every eye closed, perhaps that's your great need this morning. I'd love to have the opportunity to pray for you. Say, Pastor, please pray for me. I need the courage to do what I know the Lord wants me to do this morning. I saw it. I saw it in the message. The Lord made it very plain. Just by the upraised hand right now, you'd say, please pray for me. I need that. I want the Lord to do that great work in me. Yes, 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 yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. Would you today embrace Christ and be courageous? Father, thank you for what you've shown us this morning. Thank you for giving us a clear picture of the evident ability of our God. And I ask today that you would help us to be like Caleb, who was like Christ, to be a servant, to be in sharp contrast to this world and to this age, to be a servant who had a different spirit, who did the will of God, who was patient until you brought the promise to him, and was able to be a blessing to future generations. Lord, make us Calebs, we pray. make us like Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.